The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to this episode of Astros Baseball. Got a special guest for you today, former Major League Baseball player Kevin Minch, also the host of the Big Head Pod. Kevin, thanks for coming on.
Absolutely. I love doing these. Get to hear different questions that people have.
All right, so let's start with this. You grew up in Did you grow up in Delaware?
Born and raised.
Okay, so you played high school ball in Delaware. And then you ended up going to the University of Delaware. Is that where you wanted to go?
I wasn't really highly recruited out of high school. And my brother, my middle brother, played at Delaware. And I had known the guys, some of the guys he played with played pro ball. So, you know, and then the assistant coach at the time had played AAA ball. So I figured, you know, I wasn't really recruited. And it was in my backyard. My family could see me play. And it was right there. And it turned out to be a blessing.
I grew up in Oklahoma, and I mean, if I was good enough to be recruited by colleges, I would have chose University of Oklahoma over any school in the world. University of Delaware, it's not a huge baseball school, is it?
No, not really. There aren't many guys that have gone through that have played Major League Baseball. That went to Delaware. There's some that bypassed. I'm trying to think. Derek May and Delano DeShields are two recent ones that were first. I think they were top 10 picks, both of them the same year. So my middle brother played with Derek in high school. So I, you know, watched those guys growing up. And then I got a chance to play against Delano my rookie year in Chicago. So but not a few and far between, really. So, I mean, it's not a baseball hotbed for sure. But, you know, a lot of it has to do with the weather. So I grew up playing hockey, soccer, and baseball.
Wow. So in 1998, you were the National College Player of the Year. So that had to have been a pretty rare feat at the University of Delaware then.
I really can't explain it. It was, I just had a phenomenal year that year. I know the bats were a little bit different back then when we played, but the numbers I guess I put up that year were off the charts. It was we had a good team. We just never had the pitching to compete. We always had the bats. We just didn't have the arms because the ACC schools come up and pluck those guys away, when we were there. So it's, you know, a lot's changed now. They joined a different conference now. They're in the Colonial, so they get a little bit more. They're climbing the ladder as far as, you know, the competition they're playing. So, I mean, it brings in a little bit higher, you know, talent of guys. So, but that's just the way it was back then. We never could really just keep up with the arms.
So you ended up being drafted by the Texas Rangers in the fourth round in 1999. First question, what was your favorite team growing up?
Phillies. I was a Phillies fan growing up. I grew up 20 miles south of Philadelphia.
Okay, that would make sense. So going back in time for me, I used to work at Foot Locker when I was young. And one of the guys transferred from New York, and when he found out he was going to Texas, he said, I thought everybody was going to be riding horses. What did you think about what was going to be happening in Texas? What was your mindset of Texas?
I didn't really have one. I didn't know. I'd never been west of the Mississippi before I got drafted. I was out invited to Team USA in 98, so that was the only time. Other than that, I had never been out. I didn't know, you know, I never really watched American League Baseball. I watched some Baltimore games a little bit growing up, but never really knew much about Texas except what I saw on TV. But, You know, I didn't think it was just, you know, it was just horses, and it was, you know, in the early 1900s, they're delivering mail and horse and buggy. So, but I mean, I expected to be, you know, see more horses than, but you're looking at the size of Delaware is the size of probably Tarrant County, which is where I live.
Wow. Yeah. You figured, I guess most people would think at least everybody probably wears cowboy hats.
Yeah, I don't have one of those, and I don't like hats and hate wearing hats, and I don't have cowboy boots. People tell me they're, takes a minute once you get them broken in, and people, I just haven't gone that southern yet.
So do you consider yourself a Texan now? I know you're living in Texas.
Both. I claim both. I like to claim both being here. I mean, it's, you know, it's different definitely back home than from when I grew up, you know, with political climate and everything else of being here, and just, I love it here. My wife's from here. All my kids were born here. So, but it's easy to get back. It's just, you know, just a different way of thinking here than it is back home.
Yeah, I'm kind of like you. I grew up in Oklahoma, and I moved to Texas when I was 18, and now I'm almost 52. So I've lived here way longer than Oklahoma.
But I'm almost halfway, I think, right? So I've been here. I've been here 20 years, almost halfway. Not yet.
Yeah.
So
I don't think I can do the math. 18, 48 is 30 years. So another four. That's a lot. 34 years, maybe. Wow. All right. So in 2002. Well, let me ask you this. How was the minor leagues back then? Pretty horrible?
Horrible.
As far as your living situations and money?
I looked at it like we were in college, right? You had roommates. Your place of your residence was basically your place just to crash. You were out either playing baseball or you were out partying. That's how it was. You're 21 years old, and that was it. It was... And the motivation was to, what do I need to do to get to the next level, to get out of where I am? You know, we weren't coddled. That was what motivated us to get to that next level. All right, what do I need to do to get from, because there's guys that had been up and down that you're playing with, what it's like at the next level. So, I want to get to that level. I want to get to the next level. So it motivated you to want to do that. We didn't whine and complain about, you know, what we didn't have, kind of, you know, as opposed to what it is now, you know, hurt my feelings. No, that's motivation to get the hell out of where you are, to get where you want to go. You know, it's almost like there's no motivation these days. They're giving you everything you need at the lowest levels. Well, why do you want to climb the ladder?
So you got drafted in 99 and you debuted in the major leagues in 2002. How did that happen? I mean, did you make the big league team out of spring training, or did you get called up?
I got called up probably 4 days into the season.
Oh, wow.
I spent the entire big league camp with the team. And then when we got to, I think we were in Oklahoma City, I just got sent down. That was my first year on the 40 man. And I was only in AAA, I think, for maybe a day or two before I got called up. Somebody got hurt.
I think when I was a kid, the Oklahoma City 89ers was the farm club of the Rangers. So
that stadium, I think it's still there. I'm not sure. But they had moved to Brickyard in downtown Oklahoma City.
Yeah, they're with the Dodgers now. They're the Oklahoma City Dodgers, yeah.
Okay, yes, because, the Rangers are in Round Rock.
Yeah. All right, so you had an amazing rookie season. You finished seventh in the rookie of the year voting, 15 homers, 60 RBIs. Tell us about that first season being a rookie.
Well, it's one of those where when you first get there, I'd been with the team with the guys in camp. You know, I played with Pudge, Juan, Rafi, Alex, Kenny Rogers, Ismael Valdez, guys that had been around, Hideki Arabu, guys that had, you know, established guys. And then there were some younger guys that were there, Hank Blaylock, Michael Young. So it was one of those where, you know, you get there and then you realize, wait, I'm in the same field of guys that I watched on TV and being there. And, you know, it was fun just learning, you know, learning from those guys and, you know, how the game actually works. Spring training is not like the season, but you just kind of integrate yourself and learn to evolve and adjust as the game progresses.
So your second season, you kind of dealt with injuries. What kind of injuries were you dealing with?
I got hit with a fastball by a good buddy of mine in the wrist, broke the ulnar styloid off, And I was casted up with my hands at an angle to try and get it to heal up. After 6 weeks, it didn't heal, so they had to go back in and cut it out, and I missed the entire second half of the season.
I read something about, sorry to cut you off, but I also read something about maybe you had something to, with your toe.
That
you were wearing the wrong size shoes.
That was 06.
Oh, okay.
That was 2006. No, that was just my wrist. I had just wandering cone from the Twins, a guy that had come through playing against, I think, in rookie ball and A ball, and then in the big leagues. So a guy I played with against in the Arizona Fall League as well. So a guy I knew really well hit me with a fastball.
Did you know something was wrong as soon as they hit you?
Yeah, it hit. It came up and in, and I think the ball went out towards second base, and I got over to first, and the trainer checks on it, and I think the next batter lined into a double play, and I went in and took a swing, and I couldn't. They put it on the fluoro scan, and they turned my wrist. You can see the bone just flopping off the side. And So, yeah.
So 2004 and 2005 were pretty good seasons for you. You hit 279. You had 26 homers, 71 RBIs. You remember these numbers? And then 2005, you had 25 homers, 73 RBIs. Everything was looking good. And then 2005, you had 3 home runs against the Angels. You remember that day?
Yeah, I didn't know about that until we were doing something. I think we were playing in a celebrity baseball game, and one of the guys for the game told me that I had 3 home runs, but it was 3 straight innings. I didn't know that. I think it's only the second time in American League history that's ever happened. In 3 straight innings with a home run. I mean, for that to never, I didn't even think about it. You know, at that point, you're just, well, yeah, for that to happen, I mean, you're turning the lineup over 3 straight innings.
Wow. So it was the first 3 innings of the game?
I want to say it was probably 4th, 5th, 6th, or 5th, 6th, 7th innings.
Oh, wow.
I had 2 of them off one of the same pitcher. And then off another buddy of mine.
Or you weren't really, I guess, I mean, you had 26 homers and 25, which was kind of a lot back then, right? 30 home runs was kind of a big deal.
They had pitching like $25 million a year.
Yeah.
I played a little bit too early.
Yeah. So in 2006, I read that you had a home run in 6 straight games.
It was 7. I had the ball at... Where is it?
You ended up getting 7. Is that a record?
7 straight. Yeah. And it's the ball somewhere here because the Rangers have number 6. We had a homestand, and the streak started. It was right after you talk about the shoe incident. I'd flown back from Anaheim to get an injection. Met the team in Seattle. I hit a ball off the top of the wall. I think it missed by going out by 3 or 4 inches. And then it started the streak when we got home the next night. 6 at home, had an off day, going to Cleveland. And I hit the 7th home run, and it hit the metal fencing on the bleachers and came back on the field. And I have that ball back here.
Oh, nice.
So, and then little Mike Trout tied me this year in the same play in Cleveland, 7 straight games. So, and we're all the first right-hander to do it. I think before that was 5 by Frank Howard.
Well, that's an amazing feat.
So everybody else is a lefty or a switch hitter that's on the other. Dale Long, Mattingly, and Junior Griffey.
Were you enjoying your time with the Rangers?
We had so much fun. Mr. Hicks took great care of us as well. You know, the fans were just – I love being a part of the – you know, just be ingraining myself with the fans. Still see – we have Fan Fest actually this weekend at the ballpark, the first time since COVID to go back and do that. And people have been asking, you know, who's going to be out there. So I'm looking forward to that.
All right, so later in 2006, that's kind of the reason I asked you if you enjoyed your time. You hit the 50,000th hit in Texas Rangers history. Do you remember doing that? And then next day they traded you. Tell me about that day and how'd you feel?
Just a shock. I mean, you always hear stuff coming around. Trade deadline, you know, it's all hearsay, you know, what people think. And so it was one of those. We were in the process of building a house, and which is the death knell. They always tell people, don't build a house. As soon as you do that, it's when you end up getting traded. And we get the phone call, hey, you've been traded, this and that. And it's basically you got to drop all what you're doing, get back, get on the plane, and get up there. You know, we were on the other side of Dallas, so it took about an hour to get back here. And there was no way I was making that flight, so we ended up getting to Milwaukee about 8:30 that night. So yeah, it was a different shock for sure, because you know, you're used to one thing and basically changing everything, your entire way of life. All right, see you. And then being ready to play. So it takes a little bit. It's not something you can just jump. It just depends on how you're wired, really.
Yeah.
How guys handle it. So
is that that's something players deal with every season, right? I mean, during the trade deadline, you're kind of wondering, is it going to be me?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, I mean, you see the stuff on TV of the big name guys that are going to, but there's always the other, you know, the other things that go on of, you know, who are they going to trade for? So, I mean, you hear all kinds of stuff. You know, if you're not playing, are they going to take you out? Well, he's not playing. So there's got to be something in the works. So, but no, it's just basically a phone call. Hey, you're gone.
So as fans, I think we kind of see it as like our team traded this baseball card for another one. You know, I don't think we look at baseball players as human beings. And, you know, you don't think like, hey, this guy was building a house. And then they're just like, hey, so what'd you do with the house? You just didn't finish it, or you had to finish it and sell it? Or
we stayed here. We're still in the house now. It's just,
okay. It was a lot,
because she had to, you know, back and forth trying to plan a wedding at the same time. It was just, it's nuts, because you know, you have everything that you've got to move, and you've got, you know, new teammates. You know, I was fortunate there were some guys there that I'd known, played with before. So I knew, but it's still a lot, right? I mean, you're so used to the culture, the fans here, and, you know, everything just changes. Basically doing a 180.
What'd you think about summers in Arlington? I know they just recently built a new stadium so they could cover it up. I heard that that's kind of a negative thing for free agents to, you know, I don't want to go over there and play in that heat.
People say that. I mean, you get used to it. You build up to it playing out throughout the spring. And everything else, you get used to it. It's just, I mean, baseball's meant to be played outside, you know, whether it's hot, cold. I loved it. You know, you see the teams that come in. Houston, for instance, we would play when we would do the Silver Boot. We would play the interleague stuff. They would come in and day games on Saturday, they're just out there melting. And we're just putting a beating on them because of the heat. They're not used to it.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, it is what it is, but it's just a part of it. It's the elements, right? You look at the guys in Colorado and it's snowing and cold. Well, they can't bring free agents in here because it's too, you know, you got to pick your poison with that.
So the trade you're involved in, the Rangers got Carlos Lee and Nelson Cruz. It's two pretty big names. And Nelson Cruz was kind of part of the team that I guess it was probably, I don't know how many more years, 10 years or 6, 7 years that they actually got to the World Series a couple of times.
Yeah, they did. And the funny thing was, and I came back, Nelson was still in the minors when I came back here in 08. Nelly, they told him, nobody knows. They just told him he should just try pitching. They told Nelson Cruz to just try pitching.
Wow.
Yeah.
That he's still going.
But yes, I know. And I always, every time I see him, I said, hey, you ever regret taking up pitching? And he always laughs. He always laughs about it. So, I mean, yeah, Nelly basically took that and pushed it right back in their face. So, yeah. But yeah, Nelly's a good, really good guy when he did, you know, just be able to do what he's doing and still do it.
Yeah, it's crazy. What do you think about having the DH in the National League? You like that?
I'm not a fan. I grew up, it's chess, right? That's baseball. I grew up watching National League baseball, right? Phillies fan watching the chess match. So now, you know, they say they have an American League and National League. No. They don't have an American League and a National League. They just have Major League Baseball, right? Pitchers. Because yeah. I played with some guys that could hit. Pitchers that couldn't. Pitchers love it. You know, we would go interleague games. We would go to Houston. Our pitchers were so – it was funny, some of them watching, some of them hit. But those, they had, you know, they had fun with it. They were able to. And I think they had toyed with the idea when interleague started of playing National League Baseball in American League parks and vice versa. So if Houston would come here – we would play National League rules so American League fans could see it. And then we would go down to Houston, play American League rules type of thing. So fans could actually see, you know, and feel, which I thought would have been a better idea than what they're doing now. So, I mean, that's just a part of it. You know, guys, you're not going to see the Madison Bumgarners anymore swinging the bat. Giovanni Gallardo, guys that could swing the bat, right, and have and control it and hit home runs and do a little bit of damage. So you don't see that anymore. You won't see that.
Yeah, when they first came out with that, I was against it too. I kind of liked that there was a difference, you know, in the American, the National League, and you had strategy in the World Series, but it is what it is. It does give people like Nelson Cruz better chance to extend his career. But let's talk about Milwaukee. You got traded to Milwaukee, and how was it there?
It was different. You know, it's a blue-collar town. I mean, I grew up, like I said, being a Phillies fan, this blue-collar city, it's just different. You know, like, it was after my first – the first half of 06, you know, I played in 07 there. It was a lot of fun. You know, the weather was great, beautiful, just being up there. It was just my kind of city. You know, I'm not a big city guy, so it was beautiful up there. The weather, fans were great. And just had a good time in my short time being there.
So when you signed a contract in 2007, was that your first year to be a free agent?
No. And it was arbitration year. You have three arbitration years.
Oh, okay.
So that was my second arbitration year.
Oh, so you didn't decide to stay there?
Yeah. No, I was under their control.
Yeah, for one more year. So anyway, you ended up back in Texas and Toronto, and then you went to Japan. So I have a question about that. Like, most people's thoughts and ideas of playing in Japan is the Tom Selleck movie, Mr. Baseball. Is it like that?
It's exactly how it is. exactly what it's like over there. Fields are the same thing. Most of them are all dirt. And that's exactly how it's set up. Fans are passionate. And they're fun, and they say they don't cheer against the other team. They only cheer for their own team. And I played for Hanshin, so, and they were the Red Sox of Japanese baseball. So we would sell out everywhere we go.
So did you meet your wife while you were playing?
Yes, I met her. Actually, her brother played Major League Baseball as well. I met her at his wedding. Wow. So he played for the White Sox, won a World Series with the White Sox, played for several different teams. So
in 2005 against the Astros.
Yep.
And he was okay with that, I guess.
Yeah. Oh yeah. They're Texas. He's from West. Scott Pesednik, he was a left fielder for the White Sox. So he hit the walk off home run off of Lidge in game 2. Was it game 2 that Lidge gave up the walk off?
I don't know. People are gonna kill me, but I don't know.
Uh oh. I think it was game 2.
Yeah, back then I had little kids and. No, I didn't. I don't know what I get. You know, I get 95 and 2005 mixed up because my kids were born in the 90s. But no, I don't really remember, because back then I used to work nights and I didn't get to watch any games. And I just I didn't keep up with the Astros as much as I do now. Although I did like them. I just didn't know as much in that era. I was a big fan in the 90s when they wore this hat. And then when they moved to Enron, it was called Enron Field back then.
Oh, Enron Field.
Yeah, that was kind of a mistake naming it that.
Yeah, because anyway, Bagwell is Bags, he's a University of Hartford guy.
Ah, there you go.
He played against Delaware and when he was in college. Yeah. Good old University of Hartford.
I'm choking on something. Oh, I was going to ask you, me and my wife went to vacation in Rhode Island. Should we have went to Delaware?
Depends. There's more sharks up there, Rhode Island, around the Cape. I played the Cape, so yeah. But no, it all just depends on where you want to go, what you're looking for. But you definitely want to be on the ocean side, for sure. If you're going to go, so you go to Florida, on the Gulf side, you want to be on the ocean side.
All right, let's talk about it.
Delaware beaches are very good there.
Yeah. Yeah. Rhode Island was pretty cool. I liked it.
Jersey beaches are good too, on the south side of Jersey, South Jersey, right there at the mouth of Delaware.
So Philadelphia is really close to New Jersey, right?
Right across the ridge.
Yeah.
Right across the river. You can probably hit a golf ball across the Delaware to get to Jersey.
Wow. All right, so let's talk about your podcast real quick. You have the Big Head Pod, right, Kevin Minch?
Yes.
And the reason it's called the Big Head Pod is because you have a big head?
As per Rusty Greer, yes, he's the one who started this whole big head thing, the Shrek thing. And so some guys came to us about starting one to talk about baseball. There's four guys on our Dub Network. I do baseball. Craig Ludwig does hockey. Derek Harper does basketball. And Isaiah Stanback and Nate Newton do the football. So we cover all four of the sports up here in the Metroplex. But it's not just, you know, stuck with just baseball. I've had military guys on. I've had some extreme bike, extreme athletes on, just talking about different stuff, just different stories, you know, this kind of stuff where people don't know, not so much the locker room talk, but just the stories that people want to hear when they go to, we have a big golf outing for our alumni, and people go out and play with the same group of guys because they just like to hear the different stories. You know, they want to see what it, like a behind the scenes type of feel to it. And that's just how it is. It's just sitting there doing this.
Yeah. For me, this is one thing that I love doing, you know, being able to talk to someone like you. I would have never been able to talk to you if I didn't start doing this. So this is one of the best perks out of anything. But what's funny about this is I have a big head. My hat size is 7 7/8. Like I'm right there with you. I'm Shrek Jr.
That's about what mine is. I never went bigger than an 8. I did, but when you put the hat on, right, 7 7/8, it's not always a 7 7/8 fit. It could be bigger, it could be smaller. And so that's why it's that people want to say the hats, but no, Rusty's the one who started the whole big head thing. It's his fault that he started all this.
Whenever I like to buy my hats at the ballpark because you, like you just said, they don't all fit the same. So you get to try a bunch of them on. I got lucky. I ordered this online and it actually fit. So
yeah. So now they do the flex fit stuff, but those get sweaty. And then
I don't like those at all.
No, I do miss the hats we had spring training. They weren't the mesh ones they have now, but they were like the ones you have, but they had all these holes in them. So they're breathable. They only did them for 1 year. And then
they're like a jersey, right?
Flex fit. Yes. And they went to that flex fit now, which is, I don't like it at all.
I don't either. It feels like they give me headaches. It feels like they're pulling against your head. And
we pull them off and then the thing flips down. And I probably go through in spring training those hats four or five of them because they just get so nasty real quick.
My son loves the flex fit hat.
Yeah.
Not flex flit. Sorry, folks. Flex fit. I hate them. All right. So you said you're a Phillies fan. Let's talk about. I don't want to talk about football, but let's do predictions. Eagles, Niners.
It's going to be loud. I see some of the Niners guys are saying that Philly's not going to be – it's not the loudest place to be. You just – it's kind of like poking the bear. You know, it's going to be loud. They're going to be obnoxiously drunk for sure. Last week, they couldn't tailgate until 4 o'clock. So what Philly fans – because the game wasn't until 7. Philly fans bought tickets to the Wings game. So they were able to get in there at 8 o'clock in the morning at tailgate, and they bought wings tickets. So I'm sure the wings sold out, which is the indoor lacrosse.
Yeah.
So that they'll be out there in full force. It'll be loud. And, you know, it's one of those things where they've been underdogs. They were in 17 Super Bowl run. They're the same thing here. You know, you look through social media and everything, you know, the three, four quarterbacks that are left. Jalen Hurts isn't a top quarterback. He's not whatever, you know, you're an Oklahoma guy, I assume.
I'm rooting for the Eagles because of that.
And Lane Johnson, another Oklahoma guy.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, they've taken to it. It's just that it's the mentality that city has, right? It's a blue collar. I know the Phillies lost World Series to your Astros this year. But, you know, putting up a fight and that's what it's about. It's that team is, it's designed to wear you down with what they have. And that's what we're looking for. So it'll be, like I said, they're coming to us. It's going to be loud. It's going to be fun. And I am looking forward to it for sure.
I got the Eagles. Who do you pick? You think the Eagles are going to pull it out?
I got my birds.
I do too.
They're going to continue to pick up from where they left off last week with the Giants. You know, that team, you know, what they do is they can come at you in so many ways. And like I said, I'm looking forward to it. It's just, the fans, you know, Philly fans look for any kind of ammo they can. They know that the Niners got the guy who's just arrested for domestic assault, right, playing. You know, that'll be one topic. They'll be Debo Samuel, they'll be wearing Debo Samuel out saying, talking about how loud it is. That place will get deafening. I mean, even Dallas Goedert said it last week. They had to go to a silent count because they couldn't hear it was so loud. And that's the home team telling you that. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm ready. I don't know what the weather's going to be like. My nephew said it was cold yesterday, so I don't – who knows what it'll be. So, but, yeah, I'm looking forward to it for sure.
Who do you got, Bengals or Chiefs? To me, it depends on how healthy
Mahomes is.
Yeah, Mahomes is, but I don't know. I got Cincinnati. I took them against the Bills, and I'm going to ride them to the World Series. I mean, the Super Bowl, my bad.
People would love to see the Kelce brothers face off in the Super Bowl, you know? So, I don't know. I see. Just hope for a good football game, right? The games last weekend weren't good football games. I mean, Cincinnati went into Buffalo. I don't know what the weather's going to be like there. I mean, people would love to see Andy Reid and the Eagles go. So, you know, it all depends, I guess, what the NFL wants.
No.
Right? So it'll be.
Oh, you think that? I see a lot of videos now that it's rigged. Yeah. You know.
Oh, yeah. You're seeing a lot more stuff. I mean, they've got all these camera angles showing stuff. So, I mean, it's right. It seems like it's almost scripted to how it's set up, you know, and that's the thing. I'm no conspiracy theorist, am I?
Right. There's a lot of them out there.
Conspiracy theorists, I think they're up 17-0 on a lot of things.
So speaking of cameras, I read that minor league baseball is going to use the robo umps this year. Thoughts on that? I'm against it.
Oh, so am I. It is. I had John Hirschbeck on my show one day. We were talking about, and he goes, Benji, he goes, I got out at the right time because the game is just going to hell in a handbasket. And there's no interaction. There has to be that. I get it. There are the times, you know, Jimmy Joyce to play at first base, you know, Jim, even though he missed that plop, but owning up on it. Yes, that's what it's about. But there's no interaction. What are you supposed to do? Argue with a robot? I mean, they're taking it all out of it. Even guys, I think they had something in the fall where they could challenge pitches, right? Mm-hmm. And they want to slow the game down? Really? So this is what they're going to umpire games for. I'm going to sit here and resume, and I'm going to call balls and strikes, right? Yeah, ball, strike. Right?
I had a former umpire, you might know him, Dale Scott.
Yep.
And he was saying that the umpire still has to, like, call the game to himself in case there's a glitch and the robot doesn't get it. So he said, you're kind of just not really doing anything. And all of a sudden they're like, hey, we didn't get that. And you're like, oh no. So they still got to do their job. But he was saying it could be good, you know, to use it. Maybe, you know, how they have replay. Maybe you're allowed to challenge a couple of calls a game. Maybe.
I mean,
arguing with the ump is part of the game.
This
calls is part of the game. I
what are you supposed to do? And you go out, hey, I need to, you know, make a change. What are you supposed to ask the ump or ask the robot for time? Or what is it? What are they going to pay? Is there going to be no catcher back there? Is it going to that they're taking away the shift? I mean, you're killing, but you're destroying baseball. Well, then that'll give guys more. No, learn to hit the ball the other way, guys. We've talked about this on the show numerous times. There aren't any more pitchers. They're just throwers. And there aren't any more hitters. They're just swinging. Granted, there are the guys, the Verlanders, the Scherzers, the Aaron Nolas, guys that can pitch, that know it. But other than that, then guys are just going out there throwing as hard as they can. Actually, I was talking to Jim Thome yesterday about this. There's no more Kenny Loftins, leadoff guys getting on base. Right, guys are trying to hit 12 run homers. You're not the game, the Houston Seattle game, 17 innings, really, 40 strikeouts. Bunt them over, try and win the game. Right, these games, and they want to speed the games up. Well, learn to play the game. You know, and that's what we talked about. Hopefully, it will resurrect itself. But even the way guys are taught to swing, the swings now, guys are throwing harder, yet they're teaching longer swings. You look at an elevated fastball in the game today, around the letters, it's guys can't hit it because they're trying to lift the ball in the air. And that's what we talk about. We talk, Jeff Fry talks about it all the time with hitting guys. Go ahead, keep. They want an Aaron Judge to hit like a Jose Altuve. You can't do that. It's the most individualized sport part of baseball, hitting. Yeah, it's, you can't teach everybody the same way. And people are trying to reinvent the wheel, and now we're adding more to it. It's no wonder fans are pissed off that they're losing numbers, right? Yeah, the TV numbers are great because nobody wants to go to the ballpark. One, for the price, and people don't want to go. I mean, I've talked to numerous fans here about the Rangers New Stadium. They don't like it. It just doesn't have the aura, the atmosphere of the old ballpark. You know, people don't. So when we were playing, we had a baseball field, and there was, you know, the fans were interacting. There was some stuff going on, thunder sticks. Now you have an amusement park, and there's a baseball game going on in the middle of it. You know, and the fan, if you ask the fan, they just don't like it. They don't have, I mean, think about it. The stadiums are changing every so often now, right? I mean, look at what it is. There's no, even going to the game. We went, when the World Series here during COVID, the Dodgers played Tampa. You know, what was the big thing when we went to games growing up? You had what? You had a ticket stub, yeah, right? The nostalgia of the game. I got a ticket stub. I've got it. It's right here. I went, yeah, to the first time a World Series was held at a neutral site in 50 some odd years, and I had nothing to show for it other than maybe something on my phone. I want a, yeah, ticket. I want something that's framed that I could say, look at this. I've got this right here. No, everything's done digital now. I'm surprised you don't have to use your thumbprint to go to the bathroom.
Yeah. I wish we had, because I went to game two of the World Series this year, and I wish I had some kind of ticket stub from it. But you talked about hitters, and I saved this on my phone. Tony Gwynn. Somebody posted this, that he could go 0 for 1,199 at the end of his career and still retire a 300 hitter. So you don't have guys like that anymore.
Nope. You don't have guys staying with one team either, you know, of the loyalty, right? You like Biggio, Bagwell, guys that stayed there, right? In Houston, that people enamored themselves to the Houston crowd, the people that were there. You don't see that. Everybody's chasing the money. But you're right. Tony Gwynn was surgical with the bat, right? Struck out. I think he had more four-hit games than he had four strikeout games or something ridiculous. You know, that's the stuff that you watch, you learn from and see those guys. It didn't matter what he was doing, right? I mean, the numbers, it's insane. And you won't see that. Records won't be. Nolan Ryan's strikeouts, DiMaggio's hit streak, hell, 20 wins. You won't see that, right? Yeah. You won't see any of these numbers being broken anymore.
Well, Kevin, I'm out of time here on this Zoom call, but I'd love to have you back so I can just talk more, just all baseball. We've talked about you. I think we could talk about baseball for a long time. I'd love to hear more of your thoughts about today's game, the old game. So let's bring you back.
Absolutely. I'm always on social media at KevinMench28. Check it out. Twitter, right. Instagram, and all the other good stuff.
All right. I'll tag you on this video. I appreciate you coming on. It was a lot of fun. And thanks everybody out there for tuning in to this episode of Astros Baseball.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.